This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams. I'm joined as ever by the wonderful Alan Clark. We've got a fit of the giggles because having spent time setting up our podcast studio ready to go, we've just then stuck a couple of Murray mints in our mouths and then realised that the audio is not going to be great if we're talking around a couple of sweets. So here we are. We're back again, Alan. We've been a little while away, but we're hoping to be back on it now, regularly, weekly podcasting. So what are we talking about this week?
We are, but before I get into the subject, I am longingly looking at the two Murray mints that are wrapped back up in the wrapper in front of us. So after this podcast, I suggest we take the Murray mints, have 5 minutes, and then get back onto our second podcast. What we're going to talk about today, inspired by recent news coverage of certain MPs, is about not just knowing your worth, but asking for your worth when it comes to professional services. So that's something, if we're really honest, causes quite a lot of emotion, concern, procrastination, worry. So we're going to get into that.
Yeah, I think I see this a lot with new business owners, that they're scared that they'll take any customer. We've talked about this before. So anyone that's willing to pay them anything for their service, they will take. And they get into that mindset that because we're a really teeny tiny small business, A, only other teeny tiny small businesses are going to want to work with us. And B, I can't charge whatever the market, I can't charge what competitor X is charging because they're much bigger and more established than me and I have to undercut them in order to compete. And that is a hide into nothing, really. It's quite dangerous, isn't it, to set off on that path on day one.
Yeah, it's really challenging. It's really, really challenging. And it's great to have 30 minutes to talk about this. But if I was to tell you, because I'm not sure you saw the news article that we're talking about MPs and what they command out with their MP duties.
Right, so their second jobs.
The second jobs, right. and the hourly rate that they're commanding in these second roles. And if I was to tell you that those two recent MPs that were PMs, right. Two recent PMs, and one in particular lasted 45 days. Now, I think this person lasted 45 days because quite a lot of people weren't too sure she was doing a great job. I think that was predominantly the reason. And if I was to tell you that this person is currently commanding £15,200 an hour.
No way. What, to this is not like after dinner speaking.
This is all rolled up. Whatever the ex-PM is doing, she's commanding an hourly rate of £15,700 an hour. Roughly, on the back of a questionable performance.
I don't want to get too political.
And that's what's ongoing, but what I'm trying to say here is that sometimes we get hung up as, is my expertise good enough? If what I got to say value creating enough, I would suggest maybe take a leaf out of this person's book and go for it. Is where I'm starting.
So you're saying if I want Liz, I mean, it's Liz Truss, right? Well, okay. I know you're being very careful to not name her, but
yes,
Liz Truss is charging £15,000 an hour. Trust. As a consultant,
and Boris.
I know Boris is on, like, after dinner speaking, his fee is phenomenal.
Yes, £15,000 an hour as a consultant.
Although that after dinner speaking circuit is different, because that's like a little business, right? And they're selling tickets in. And if they can sell tickets to have dinner and listen to Boris speak and make money off it, then fair enough.
I mean, where I'm going there is the mindset. She could have thought that 45 days didn't go too well. I'm going to stay in my box forever. No. Make the world go away. But she's done the opposite. She's come out and she's gone, I'm here. I've got loads of wisdom to share.
I'm an ex-prime minister. You know, she got the job.
This is, if you want me, this is what you're going to pay.
Okay.
And she's getting it.
So you read a news story where this was in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone actually paid at that? Because there's a difference between marketing yourself at that price selling.
I believe that was based on what's come in and they worked it out.
The offers that she's had. Okay, yeah. so it's not like me putting my house on the market for £5 million and saying I've got £5 million.
This is paid work and this is what it comes
out. Wow.
given the hours that's gone in and the salary that's come in, it's worked out at that rate, according to this article.
Wow. Well, that's the other end of the spectrum, I would suggest. And I meet more people at the other end where they're... I guess then, if you're in a position where you're questioning your worth...
That's right. That's where I'm coming from. This is a hugely positive piece of news for everyone listening to that. If the point I'm trying to make is, from this day onwards, be confident about the value you can offer. If you genuinely feel that what you are bringing to the situation is adding value, then be confident in what you're asking. Yeah. A lot of people out there's a default defensive position in that they won't ask too much.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about asking for a silly amount or fleecing your potential customers, but what I'm asking is that we consider just for a moment how much worth this service is going to add, and then be confident in asking for it. And the reason why I started with that example was that a lot of people would analyse that period of time as not the best, and this person's commanding what seems like a lot for consulting.
There's knowing the worth, the value that you're providing often is in excess of the time. Like, she's charging by the hour. You need to look at the outcomes of what's coming out of that hour. We had this conversation the other day in that we provide a relatively simple service for some of our clients, and we charge it out at £120 for the year. And some of these times we do this for every client. Sometimes we can get that job done and dusted in 10 minutes, but we don't charge it hourly because the value we're giving our client is not 10 minutes of our time. What we're taking is a job which they don't want to do themselves. They don't have the expertise, the software to do themselves. And if they get it wrong or forget to do it, then potentially their company could be struck off. Right? So it's a proper serious legal task that needs to be done. It just doesn't happen to take us much time every time we do it. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it'll take us 3 hours because it's a complicated version of this task. But I'm talking to one of my team and colleagues and they're saying, oh, you know, we should only be charging this for this. And stuff. But no, we're not. If we were charging by the hour, then fine, you charge that. But that's not what we're doing. We're charging by the value that we've created for our client, the extra time we've freed up for them, the peace of mind that we've given them, our years of expertise, the software that we've got, the insurance, you know, all of that needs to be factored in. And we charge what I think is a fair fee. We've never once ever had any pushback from any of our clients on that fee. Never, ever been an issue. I then spoke with some other accountants about it. And some of those, their prices range from £40 to £300 across these different accountants. Some charge £200. We charge £120. The ones at £300, we're almost pricing it there because, again, their clients value what they do and they don't. It's all wrapped up in another fee and no one ever questions it. It's really interesting that the ones that were charging £40 were the ones that get the pushback from their clients because they've almost devalued the product, haven't they? They've gone in £40 on the basis that it takes some time, normally takes us 10 minutes. But on the complicated ones where they've had to go back to the client and say, actually, it took us extra time and so we need to charge you £95, the client's saying, well, hold on, I thought it was only £40. And they've caused themselves an issue. I couldn't understand the mindset that they're like, we can never charge that much for that. Because they've set their stall out at £40, to get from there to the market rate now is really difficult. And I think, maybe could we talk about that for a bit? Because that feels like a point that a lot of people will be in.
I think you're right. I think when you're in a plane of cost for your services and you live and you work and you operate in that space, it is challenging to break out of that because you get into a mind state of this is what people are willing to pay and you're working within that. Now, interestingly, if it is right at the low end, you could argue that that end of the market has less money to spare. So it's always going to feel like a bit of a scrap to be able to, every penny counts. Imagine there's three planes, if you're in the next plane up, then you're commanding a larger fee and probably more money to go around. So as long as you're demonstrating value, but I think it's a different skill set then, maybe. I'm just thinking on my feet. But maybe the higher up you go in terms of fee that you're commanding, it is actually more important to demonstrate the value you're adding. just because I've got £1,000 to spend in the service rather than £10, I'm not doesn't mean to say I'm not expecting £1,000 of value.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be more demanding in terms of showing that your service is worth that. But once you show your service is worth that, then you can pretty much bank on that will be a regular payment with no quibble. Down at the other side, it might be that in your industry, it's a legal compliance service and maybe just looking for that just to keep them out of trouble with HMRC. So not really bothered on the quality, the value added per se, more that they get set of accounts returned on time and that'll be blah.
Yeah.
But not appreciating the enormous difference in value that you offer with a different price point. And the more that I'm in business for myself and the more that I work with business owners, I see that if you can clearly articulate the value that your service offers confidently with a fee that reflects that is a really good place to be. It's a confident place to be. The vast majority of potential clients will go with it and you build from there. And there's more money coming into the business. And some of the fears, the worries, the anxieties that keep you in the lower plane go.
Yeah, that confidence is 100% key to this. I was having a conversation with a video producer, small business, relatively new, and he was saying that whenever he pitches for the work, the first thing that he asks the customer is, what's your budget? Because then in his mind, if they say, well, it's £500 a day, and he charges £1,000 a day, he can end the conversation, not waste anybody's time. And I said, you're looking at that the wrong way around, because they don't know what they don't know. They know they want a video. That's what they're coming to you for. They've picked £500 out of thin air, right? They might have had another quote from a competition. They might have 2 years ago got some video work done and that's what the price was. They might have spoke to their mate who's got his best mate to do. You don't know where they are and how they've got to that figure. But if you ask and you know that up front, then you're going to do one or two things is going to happen. Either you're going to walk away and lose the sale that you might have otherwise got, or you're going to limit your quote to what you think they can afford. And that isn't where you want to be. You want to price your work at the right level for you and then find a way of changing the scope of the work to get into within their budget. And if every time I sat down with a client and if you put yourself in their position and you make the decisions for them, then you're hindering the sales process. The amount of times I've sat with a client and they've told me all these amazing things they want from their accounts function and this, they want this, they want that, and they want monthly figures and quarterly meetings and blah, blah, blah. And we get all the way to the end and then I'll ask them, well, how much are you paying your current accountant? And they'll say, £100 a month. And I think, well, that's great. We're going to quote what we're going to be is about £600 a month. If I stopped at that point and everyone said, what are you paying already and what's your budget? I would have lost so many clients that I've won, because if you can go through a sales process and explain the value of each thing you're having, and when you get to the end, if the figure's too much, they will, you know, instead of meeting monthly, we'll meet quarterly, and that knocks £200 off the price. And they may still be paying more than what they wanted at the start, but they can see the value and they'll sign. I signed so many clients up where in my mind I'm thinking they're not going to sign this. We're too far away from what they're currently getting. You can't make their mind up. Like, it's their decision to make. They're grown-ups. You're not selling, you know, magic beans, but you're pricing your product fairly and accurately. And if you base it on their budget, when their budgets have no thought put into it, other than it's a figure that they're comfortable spending, but it doesn't get them to what they need, they'll be comfortable spending more or they'll be comfortable spending less, right?
I think that's a phenomenal point, because what you're basically, well, certainly what I'm hearing you say there is that you could run your business based on every anxious and random thought off of potential clients.
100%, yeah. Because they'll sit down. I remember I've done it with you. We sat and, well, I need to put some money in my marketing plan. How much should we put in a month? I don't know, £500. If I then go to a social media company, say I've got £500 to spend, they'll give me £500 worth of stuff. That doesn't mean that's what I need. What I should do is say, right, I need some social media. I need this campaign. This is what I need. I think I need to post this much, but you're the expert. You tell me. And then they'll say, you need this many posts and these many reels and this video production, and it's going to cost you £1,200 a month. then we can have a conversation about, well, is that too much for what I can, you know, the business can afford? But it's gone from a position of knowledge rather than a off-the-cuff £500 a month.
Which is massive. So I you're right, Matt. It could be completely 100% reactive and just going with anything that comes my way in terms of potential budgets and what I think I need, et cetera, et cetera. Or I can be very, very clear on what my business offers and why and how it's priced and why. Yeah. And how, if you take this service, given your circumstances, I can add the most value, and this is how much it'll cost as an opening discussion.
Yeah.
And that can go up way, it can stay the same, it can go down the way, or not at all. But this confidence piece around, I am confident of my value in the world, and for that, it will be this.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever worked with a business that is the most expensive of whatever product or service they do, they're the most expensive in their market?
I don't think so.
It's interesting. Because I'm not sure most people that are, nobody makes a conscious thought to be the most expensive. Now, I think there are some businesses that can. You know, if you're Rolls Royce, you can price your cars at whatever you want because you're absolutely, you know, pinnacle of the profession, right? But I work with lots of independent businesses that are genuinely cream of the crop in their local market. I've got a funeral director who is, a letting agent that is. And if you are, and you know your worth, you should be, like the funeral director is, he doesn't quibble on fees. He doesn't, you know, doesn't even think about it. His price is his price. And that's the price that means he can consistently deliver excellence. And that's all that people want. In a funeral, it's an emotive business. People, A, don't want to scrimp. And B, if you're going, you go to this particular business because you know you're going to get a seamless, perfect service and funeral for your loved one. And the price reflects that.
So can I come in with a slightly different, because I know, well, certainly we've all started somewhere, haven't we?
Yeah.
And you and I have got businesses at different stages in their evolution. And there'll be people listening to that right now who'll be going, that's very good for you. And it's all very logical. But if I don't have money coming into my business, we're all stuffed.
Yeah.
Right. So let's stay in what we were saying there. Would you say it's, how important would you say then, as you start to go and you've got a couple of clients that you've articulated your value, and the client have said, that's great, I'm going with you, and you're having a really good, you know, you're serving them very well, they're pleased. How important is then reviews, testimonials to come into the mix, I guess, to help you build your confidence or the perception of your business in the wider market?
Oh, huge, huge. And I think as a nation, the British are poor at asking for feedback. Generally, you know, most people, well, we'll put this to the test. Last time you went out for a meal with the family, guaranteed, after your food had been put down, just as you're in the middle of a mouthful, the waiter or waitress comes back and asks you how the food is.
Yeah.
Do you ever say anything other than, yes, great, thanks?
No, I haven't, no.
No, you don't, do you? No. Had it yesterday. I went out for a meal and we got, one of the meals that got served was just wrong, right? It was a piece of lamb and it was awful. Like, literally couldn't cut into it. I took it back before the waitress came out, and then she came out and I had the new food and came out and everyone said, yeah, yes, I'm fine, it's fine, it's fine. And I sat there thinking, is it fine? Or has everyone just said that because that's the British thing to do? My point is, other than that, in a restaurant, you never get asked for feedback and no one ever gives it. We do this. We've sent out four or five different ways of getting feedback from our customers. If it goes wrong, you get feedback. If it's perfectly fine or okay, you get nothing. And then if you absolutely excel, you'll often, you know, I get people saying, oh, that was brilliant, well done, thanks, you know, thank Lauren for doing that amazing job. And I follow that with, that's brilliant, could you stick it on a Google review? And then I'll get a review. But otherwise, getting Google reviews is difficult unless you're in the right industry where you can kind of attract it, which isn't mine for sure. Anyway, what you can measure though is referrals, because that is the litmus test of doing well, right? Is that, you know, my family are all builders, and they often go this, where they'll do three extensions on the same road. And that's how you know you're doing a good job, is that they've seen John next door's had this big extension and they really liked it, and you worked really clean and neat and were turning up every day. And then you just get the next gig and then the next gig down the road. And referral business, if you're getting referral business in, now we should do a podcast on this on its own because there's other pitfalls. But that is the litmus test that your service is quality, because people don't recommend someone that's bang average, do they? No one ever said, do you know an average solicitor? Does everyone ask you that? No, do you know a good one, right? So you've got that default, yeah, we must be okay if people are referring us. But we're getting a little bit sidetracked. I think the thing to think about, to answer your question of, that's great, if you're there, you can charge a premium, but if you're not, you need to kind of lower your expectations, I guess. If you, your customers will expect the same from you no matter what you charge them. So if you're charging £500 an hour or £50 an hour, your customers, because they're not after the hour, they're not starting the stopwatch and closing the stopwatch and saying, right, you've done an hour's worth of work, great. They're paying you for a result of a product or service. And if, I don't know, if you're selling your house through an estate agent and you've got one that's at 0.5% and one that's at 1% and one that's at 1.5%, the end result for you, the customer, is the same. You want your house sold. And yes, they may choose the 0.5% at the start and it might get you the gig, but after a week or two, the customer's forgotten that they're only paying you 0.5% and they were going to pay Joe Bloggs and Co. 1%, and they just want their house sold. And you're in a position now where you're having to do the same amount of legwork as your competition would, but for half the fee. And what's happened is you're doing that and you're working for this customer who would have taken you at 1% if you'd have given them the option. But because you made the decision for them by pricing lower than you should have, maybe. My point is, your competition didn't get that gig, but they got the next one at 1%. So you're both doing the same amount of work now, but they're going to get paid twice as much as you at the end of it. And your customer, if you don't sell their house really quickly, is going to get grumpier and grumpier, and you end up with more stress and more bother. And they're not at that point saying, oh, well, we'll give them 2 weeks extra before we moan because they were cheaper. That's gone. That decision 6 weeks ago now, and they just want their house sold and you're not delivering. And that's the danger. Whether you're selling houses, selling accounts, laying bricks, whatever it is, the price, lower price may get you the gig, but it doesn't get you any more goodwill.
That's huge, isn't it? It's a huge point. And what would you say then, people that are listening to this, that have maybe started off or have been stuck in a certain value limit or price limit self-imposed for a chunk of time now, and they listen to this and go, right, okay, want to change this. What advice would you give to people that want to increase fees based on a more, what's the word, accurate reflection of the service?
The value they've provided.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I would say is, unless you're in a certain few industries, you can play with your pricing. The next time someone asks you for a quote for what you do, nudge it up a bit and see what happens. Worst case, they say no. Mm-hmm. But there's a good chance they'll say yes. Mm-hmm. And then you suddenly got the same client you would have got, but 10% more, for mm-hmm. example. Putting your price up to new customers doesn't mean you suddenly have to put it up to all your existing ones and then potentially lose ones that are price sensitive at the bottom end, right? It just means that going forwards, you're setting that bar. Mm-hmm. And then in a year's time, your baseline limit minimum price per job might be significantly more than where you are now. And then you've got an issue, and it's not a bad issue to have, of how do we move the bottom end up to mm-hmm. where we are now. Mm-hmm. But nothing, the only thing that's stopping people from raising their prices is them. Mm-hmm. Unless you're in a regulated industry and you can only charge so much, the majority of businesses, you could double what you charge tomorrow. Right? You should, because you haven't raised your prices to me for 3-4 years now.
You're special, man.
Well, that's fine. But the point is, you don't have to raise it for everybody. You can test and measure. The best businesses test and measure. Mm-hmm. And you know, all of these accountants, like I was saying right at the start, that are charging £40 for this thing that I charge £120 for, and some people charge £300 for, they're only charging that because they're scared. And I understand there's a fear of, I put my prices up and everyone leaves. But that is massively unfounded. Mm-hmm. And actually, people pay for quality, and people pay for the feeling of that well-being, positive aftertaste after experiencing your service. is hard to price at the start, but it's what your customers remember from you.
It's huge. Massive. I think that is, if you were to get a strategy about, I've started on fee X and I want to move to fee Y, and a bit of that internal justification, because let's be honest, emotion does play a lot in this space. Yep. Not for everyone, but it does for a chunk of people. And for a chunk of people, it's just, it's too much. They can hardly breathe when they think about it because of the fear of losing current clients, never getting a current client, another client, and being ridiculed from the rooftops, blah, blah, blah. But if you can get clear on the value you're making, the difference you're making with your service, and even if it's not a Google review, but getting feedback. We've worked for each other for now 4 months now. How you find that? Oh, do you know what? Transformational. Why? That's an overused word. Well, this, and this, right? Great. So you're valuing it? Yeah, absolutely. You're part of my life forever type thing. Then that just gives you huge confidence to say, okay, I'm going to put a little bit more on now.
100%. Yeah. And it's easy to pat yourself on the back because you've moved your prices up a bit and then not look at it again for a year, right? It needs to be constant. No, I'm not saying put your price up all the time, but just be aware of where you sit in the market, what your customers value from what you're doing, and your cost base, because that will be going up as well. And there's a different, again, watching your margin is a different podcast, but and be comfortable that what you're charging is right for you, right? If you're not comfortable charging, you know, X amount, then don't charge it. It's your business, it's your rules, it's your game. But just be wary of undercharging and not being aware of what your customers actually value from what you do. We helped one of our clients sell their business back end of last year. And we got a decent fee. We did a lot of work. I've talked about this a few times. It was worth tens of thousands to my business, helping this client sell for millions of pounds for him, right? So it was a chunky deal. I found out from talking to the other side, the buyers last week, that the tens of thousands that we charged was a tenth of what PwC charged the other side. And they did the same amount of work as us, potentially less, because I was running around getting all the information. But they had no qualms. PwC had no qualms at all charging hundreds of thousands of pounds to that company. And their client is it's on the New York Stock Exchange, big listed public company, right? So, you know, would have probably looked at my fee and thought, there's no way we could deliver what we did for that fee, because they're used to having extra couple of zeros on the end of every fee. But if you break it down, I was talking to their accountant and he said, if you look at the number of emails and the amount of data that went from our business to them and from PwC in various offices around the world to them, it was comparable. And we charged, 10 times less than what PwC did.
So, big question then. You've articulated that out loud. What are you thinking right now? What are you feeling right now listening to what you just said there?
As in, am I not taking my own advice?
No, not necessarily, because I do get it's two completely different
markets. I charged a fee that was value-based and felt I was comfortable at that price. It was a good fee, and I had a good conversation with the director beforehand, and he was very much, well, look, if we get this deal over the line at that level.
So you are happy with the fee?
Oh, 100%.
Irrespective of what PwC were charging?
I had no idea what PwC were charging. And I knew that it was going to be a lot more than me, but I didn't know it was literally 10 times what we charged.
That's really important, because I want you to... So in this sense, I want you to be really happy for the fee that you charged, given the service you provided, irrespective of what PwC...
Oh, yeah, and I'm not even bitter now that I could have potentially charged 10 times as much.
But it's a phenomenal insight to know that other company did charge 10 times as much, and you're not bitter because you were really pleased with the service you offered them, and that's great. What an insight to get, though.
Yeah, they probably had Liz Truss sitting in one of those meetings, didn't they? You know,
absolutely.
But there we go. And so you'll never, I guess, it's rare that you understand like that what someone else charged for the same service is rare. But I'm more than happy with the fee we did, and more than happy with the value we provided, and that's key.
Good.
But it was more. I, at one point, when I first priced that job, I priced it at about 40% of what we ended up getting.
Wow, well done.
And I would have probably been annoyed then.
Yeah.
Because I would have done the same amount of work. And if I'd have looked at it, that figure looked, compared with what the client had paid us today, that looked like a crazy figure. And then I sat and I thought, well, there's potential for this to happen and that to happen and us to need to do a load of extra stuff. So we chucked it in. Client didn't bat an eyelid. Deal got done. And we're happy. But yeah, I imagine if I'd have had two extra zeros on it, it would be, be sat on a yacht now.
The kids. That would have been good. The podcast
from the yacht. Yeah, we might have better Wi-Fi. Right, anyway, we're at 30-odd minutes, Adam. We need to wrap up now. Do you want to bring everyone up to speed?
In a nutshell, we want everyone to not only understand, and that takes a bit of thought, a bit of effort, to understand the value your service brings the world. But once you understand the value, then work on the confidence levels to ask for that value in terms of cost or investment for it. So there's a few different skill sets there, but there's taking the time and the space to work it all out. You said something about understanding the rest of the market. Again, that's not always obvious, but you can get a good sense of it. I guess in all of this, getting better and better at what you can do helps you to command a certain fee and then ask for it and get used to moving this frequently, regularly.
Little and often.
Yeah.
And at some point, you'll get five no's in a row and you know that's your limit.
Yeah.
And dial it back a bit, right? Perfect. Okay, well, look, that's probably enough for now.
Mm-hmm.
So, as ever, give us a shout on social media if you like what we're doing. And we will be back next week with more podcast gold. But for now, that's all from me and it's all from my friend Alan.
Goodbye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.